Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 96, verses 1, 8, and 9. O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness, fear before him all the earth.
King David said in Psalm 28, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am held. Therefore, my heart son will praise him. Heavenly Father, you are our strength, and with songs of praise, we will worship you and express our love for you. We are filled with the Holy Spirit so we may celebrate today your glory and truly worship you. We have missionaries around the world, Father, and we pray for them, for Fred and Carol Lewis, as Fred is in recovery in America, for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, and for Brother Carol as he is in California preaching in a Bible conference, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, Spain, for David and Dennis Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, and Giovanni and Barbara Avildaño in Guatemala, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motor Sport Ministry, and today for Daniel as he ministry in the sport of the auto race in Ohio. And as you have done Saturday after Sunday, we are thankful for your provision, so we can be preaching and teaching here at Morgan Hill and there for those people who are in the internet and radio and the tape ministry and in the CD ministries. Lord, you speak when I will be teaching, and let me get out of the way so that thy word and thy truth exclusively may be heard, received, understood, and by the Spirit apply into our lives styles. Thank you, Father, for your continuous provision. Bless the offering, bless the giver, bless our heart, that we may remember that today we have been with you. In the true love of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. I'm pleased now to introduce our speaker from Gideon's International. And the speaker is our brother, Dave Peterson. And he's supported by his wife, Mrs. Lynn Peterson. And I just wanted to make a note that in the Gideon's International, there is a ladies' auxiliary which provides great support for the men involved in this ministry. So we're pleased now to have you come, Dave, and tell us about the work of the Gideons.
Thank you very much, Joe. Good morning. Thank you very much, Pastor Otero, and thank you, congregation, for allowing me to speak to you this morning on behalf of the Gideons International. I'm sure all of you are familiar with these hotel Bibles that we place in hotels and motels. This constitutes about 1/50th of our distribution. I'd like to start by telling you a story. These stories all have happy endings, as you might imagine. about James McDuffie, who checked into room 224 of the Holiday Inn South, intent on murdering his wife and the man that she left town with. And so he'd pursued her, and he checked into the room with two bottles of whiskey and a sawed-off shotgun as he contemplated the murders that he was about to commit. And he rolled over, and he bumped up against the Bible that was open, a Gideon Place Bible. It was open to James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So right at that moment, he was convicted by the Holy Spirit. He got on his knees. He repented. So what happens when you invest into the ministry of the Gideons International? Well, sometimes a soul gets saved, and sometimes people's lives actually get saved. So I'm here to give you a good report on your investment into this ministry. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word which goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. The Gideons is the largest missionary organization on the planet. We have a quarter of a million people serving Jesus that are indigenous people. So you don't have to spend money shipping people to other lands and training them about customs and languages. They're already there. And they ask for one thing. They ask for scriptures to distribute. And so that's what I'm here to tell you about. We're in 179 countries. We are print scriptures in 81 languages. That 179 figure, we're hoping will go to 180 soon as we're negotiating to get into China. That's not a done deal, but they're working on that right now. And it's a ministry that's an extended arm of the local church. Since the very beginning of this ministry, we've been integrated into the local church and supported by the local church. And our members are all members of local churches, as there are many members in this church. And I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine, Nehemiah Jackson. Nehemiah was a student at UC Riverside when he was arrested for a crime that he did not commit, the murder of a police officer, and he was put in jail. And he came across a Bible there in the jail, the Gideon Place Bible, and then later Gideon came to visit him in the jail. And just this morning we were reading that verse about visiting those in jail, and that's like visiting Jesus. And the guard came by the door, and they had that little window in the door, and he didn't see anybody. He started to panic there just for a second. He went over and peeked in, and Nehemiah and the Gideon were on their knees, and Nehemiah met Jesus in jail. Later on, he was freed from these charges. He didn't do that crime. And now he's a Gideon. He's a Gideon down in the Barstow camp. He's got seven wonderful kids. He calls them the Magnificent Seven. And so 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, you support the ministry of the Gideons. The Gideons took the Bibles to the jail, and God transformed the life of Nehemiah Jackson. That's a pretty good investment. We have one purpose, and that is to win men, women, boys, and girls to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very simple ministry. We distribute God's word, and we tell people about Jesus. We do that here at the local, in the local area. We've been recently doing high schools, for instance. Just this last Thursday, I was part of a group that went out, and we distributed about 375 scriptures. And we work all over the world, as I was saying. Our state vice president, Rich Bartlett, just got back from a two-week trip to Ghana, where in those 2 weeks they distributed 375,000 copies of God's Word, assisting the local Gideons. So how can you help? Well, first of all, you can pray. You can pray for our ministry. You can imagine what it's like as businessmen go out and getting into schools and finding favor with various city administrators and so forth. You can give to the ministry using what's called, I forgot to bring the cards up, but at the back you will find a rack on the wall. And you may have wondered what in the world this rack is about. There are three different kinds of cards back there. An in honor, an in recognition card, and an in memorial card. And the way that works is you give fill out the card, which is completely free. Use it just like you would any Hallmark card. Give it to a person. And then you donate scriptures in honor of that person to the Gideons. That's a very fine way to support the Gideons. And I'm going to be bold today and say that there are some people in this church that ought to be Gideons. If you want to serve Jesus and you want to be a minister, missionary, but you can't go to Nigeria or whatever, you can do work right here in your own backyard, and maybe someday God will lead you to the missionary field in Nigeria or wherever. So we'd like to talk to you about that. You know, find out what God is doing and then get in there with God and do it. And I believe that this is good soil to work with. Skipping some notes here quickly. Matthew chapter 4, 19 says, "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And so, of course, we're in the business of pulling them out of the lake of fire and throwing them into the river of life. And I'd just like to invite those of you who feel like maybe they're called to this ministry to visit with me or visit with Joe or Marcus after the service is over and talk a little bit more about our ministry. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave, for that fine report. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 563. We will be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word? Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have blessed us with every blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, who has convicted us of our sin and for the need of your salvation. We thank you for your love in sending your Son to die for us while we were yet sinners. Finding nothing in ourselves of which to boast, we can only boast of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and give all glory and honor and power to you, who has created all things. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the revealed truth from the Bible. We pray for the illumination of the Holy Spirit to apply the reality of your truth to our hearts. We pray especially for those listening on the internet and radio and tape and CD who have not yet experienced the joy of your salvation that comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, and thank you, brother, for reminding us. We are putting Bibles in the neighborhood. We have 5,000 Bibles in our store. I think it now is only 3,000 left. As we visit the neighborhood and place the Bible in the hands of people, I was saved down in South America by reading the Scripture and convicted by the Scripture, and I believe is the best gift we can give to people. And thank you, brother, for your work. And there is a great institution in this world that do that, and that's the Gideons, and we support it heavily, and we enjoy it. And our hotel across the street, the Morgan Hill Inn, has all Bibles placed by our church into their hands. And we thank God that the Word of God is alive today. We are studying the Beatitudes on the Sunday morning services, as well as we are studying the book of Revelation in the evening. The first Beatitude was there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, the blessedness of emptiness. When you have reached the bottom and there is no place to go, God called that a blessing, because then you are ready to look up and to look for God. Remember the prodigal son. Beatitude number 2 was in verse 4, and is the blessedness of brokenness. Once you are empty, that you do not hold any resources of yourself to empower yourself. Once you know that there is nothing good in you that God can use to rebuild you, then comes the next stage in your life, and is brokenness. You are broken before God, and God starts working. The third beatitude is the one that our brother read in verse 5 today for us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I call these the beatitude of selflessness. In our modern English language, the word meek is hardly one of honorable words of life. Generally speaking, and nowadays, it carries the thought of spinlessness and weakness, and conjures up the picture of a submissive and ineffective person. The term meek, as employed in the Word of God and in the Lord's Day, however, was one of the greatest ethical words of the Greek world at that time. If we have to define it in one word, I have chosen the expression selflessness. Selflessness. Thus, if we were to hear Jesus speaking today, he will say this to us: oh, the blessedness of the selfless person, for they shall inherit the earth. With this definition in mind, the use of the word in the times of Jesus, let us consider three aspects of this life of selflessness. Number one, the virtues of a selfless life. The virtue of a selfless life. Number two, the value of a selfless life. And number three, the victories of a selfless life. And as you know, we're going to work through the Word of God and find these definitions together. Number one, the virtues of a selfless life. Verse 5 says clearly, blessed are the meek. There are at least three outstanding virtues gathered up in this little word, meek. And let's see it together. Number one, an attitude of surrender with regard to God. Move your Bible to Psalm 25 in verse 9, page 350, if you are using the Bible that is placed in the pew for you. Psalm 25 in verse 9. The first virtue of a selfless life is an attitude of surrender with regard to God. Psalm 25 verse 9 says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. You notice, it is not the graduate from Stanford University that God is going to guide. It is not somebody who is a genius. God will guide somebody who is selfless in his lifestyle. An attitude of surrender with regard to God is a life of a meek person. Secondly, an attitude of loneliness toward self, toward himself. And let's look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, page 688. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, page 688. An attitude of loneliness toward yourself. Philippians 2:3 said, let nothing be done through strife. That means self-ambition. That's the Greek word over there. Strife means self-ambition. I'm going to get these regardless. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's vainglory is self-esteem. Let nothing be done in that way. But in lowliness of mind, that's the word humility, let each esteem the other better than yourself. Wow. Wow. See, without this lowliness, we cannot learn anything from God in regard to His purpose for our lives. Because we will interfere and we will set up our purpose and we will pray that God will bless our purpose as we stated. The first step to learning is the realization of our own ignorance. I remember the first day of my work as an engineer, my father said, now you go with this man who was about 60 years old, and I thought at that time he was old. Now I think he was young. And he said, and you learn from him. Wow. He was a farmer from my father's construction business. And I learned from him. I just drove with a suit, my Jeep, arrived to the place where we're going to make a 16-floor building. And the man put his hands in the pocket, and he said, you are the engineer? You tell me what to do. I said, no, sir, my father asked me to ask you what to do. He said, well, now, son, I want to teach you. And it was fantastic. It was fantastic. What mistakes could I make if I would say we do this, do this, do this out of my own mind without checking the experience of this giant in construction? I tell you, the attitude of loneliness helps you to direct your life under the guidance of God. And then the attitude of gentleness toward man. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 12, what the scripture said, page 694. An attitude of gentleness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, page 694. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's talking about you and me, holy and beloved, look at the next word, clothe yourself. That is the original word. Clothe yourself with mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Paul exhorts us to be clothed with meekness toward mankind. No rejecting, no accusing, but full of meekness. You know, we live in a time of superlatives in life. We listen and we hear the greatest evangelist. Then we hear the greatest preacher, the greatest theologian, the greatest actor, the greatest church. See, we desire by nature dignity and position. We want some title and to be addressed properly. No wonder people cannot see Christ in people because they only see the professional. They only see who the people call themselves. But we need to be so humble that people see no us at all. They only see the Christ that lives in us. Now the values, these are the virtues of a selfless life. Now the values of a selfless life. In the final analysis, only qualities which are able are those which are spiritual. Therefore, this kind of life has a permanent value. The values of life is not the house you live, the car you drive, and the title you carry through your studies. It's your spiritual life. That's the values of life. And so let's do an analysis of the values of the selfless life. God the Father appreciates this quality of life. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 4. God the Father appreciates a life whose self less in their opinion. 1 Peter 3:4, page 714 in our Bible. But it should be that your inner self the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. My brother, my sister, what is a great prize in the sight of God when He looks at us? 1 Peter 3 verse 4 said, is the inner self, is the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that God really appreciates. We study, we accomplish goals, we perform duties in society, and we become professionals, and we do things in our life to accomplish goals. But when God looks down into your life, He looks into the most deep position of your life, in the inner life of yours, and God is saying that what He really appreciates is the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And I tell you, there's a lot of work for a gentle and quiet spirit. I tell you what helps me. When I'm in trouble with somebody who had done a contract with me or had done something, when I reach the limit that I cannot tolerate it, I pray for the person. And I say, Lord, give this person wisdom so that when that person talks to me, makes sense in your presence. And if you have any work done in your house, you know you need that a lot, because the people promise this and do the other and give you a hard time. But you cannot lose your cool. You cannot lose the inner man. Let no circumstances of this world change your inner man or control your inner man. Let God control you. That's the value. God the Son portrays this quality of life for us very well. Look at in Matthew chapter 11, at verse 29, page 568. God the Son portrays, God the Father appreciates a life who is under control, a life who God controls and not ourselves. And then God the Son portrays in His lifestyle this quality of life for us. In Matthew chapter 11, and in verse 29, the Bible, Jesus is speaking, said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, where? In the heart. And ye shall find rest unto your soul. Learn of me, for I'm lowly and meek into my heart. So I just glance in the scripture to see what Jesus will do. As a lowly person, we have the biography of Jesus in the four Gospels, and so we can read the Gospels and find, and I found some thoughts. Don't look over there. I just mentioned to you. In John 5:41, Jesus says, I do not receive honor from men. Wow. I do not receive honor from men. In John 6:38, Jesus said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. In John 7:16, my doctrine is not mine, but He who sent me. In John 8:28, and He repeated in verse 50, I do nothing of myself, I do not seek my own glory. Now, that is God the Son portraying, giving us an example, and how to be a selfless person. Always, even in matrimonies, when they come to counseling, or the women or the man will say, what about me? And I always say, what about you? But yeah, what about? He said, well, she needs to take care of me, or he needs to take care of me. Why? When we play the proper picture as Jesus presented to us, when we follow Jesus' style, we never lose. Oh, we will never have what other people maybe have in this world, but we will never lose. So God the Father appreciates us when we do that. God the Son portrayed it for us. And God the Holy Spirit produces these qualities of life through us. And I'm going to go slowly in this. Because you cannot learn selflessness in the university. Actually, you will learn the reverse. You cannot learn this in any high school in any part of the world. You need a chip. You are in computers, you know. You need a chip placed into your head in order to do this. And that chip is placed by the Holy Spirit. And that's why so much confusion about the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. Satan wants us to believe that we control the Holy Spirit when we are not. And let me go through something that you know well, but I have to do it again. Look at in Romans 5:5. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this quality of life in us. But how do I get the Holy Spirit? How do I get that little chip into my head? It's called the Holy Spirit and make me doing things for God. Let's go slowly. Romans 5:5. Look at what the scripture says. And hope makes no ashamed, says the scripture. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by whom? By the Holy Spirit. And look at the last part, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit is not something that you earn or buy. Remember, there was one guy who wanted to buy the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is not something that you cry until you shake all over and you get it. The Holy Spirit is not something that you just shake your head against the wall and then jump and throw yourself on the floor. And that's a cheap expression of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's given. Now the question that I have, you know, engineers always have questions. That's how study the Bible with questions. If the Holy Spirit is given, who is going to give the Holy Spirit? Let's turn our Bible to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. 688 is the page. And the Holy Spirit was given. They give you that's true. Now, Ephesians 1:13 is going to tell you when the Holy Spirit was given unto you. Ephesians 1 in verse 13. And whom ye also trust, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Notice the adverb after. The Bible clearly is said here in Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trust after ye heard the word of truth. You cannot trust God unless you heard the word of truth. You can have an emotion with God. You can think that you have God. But the only way to have God is when you go to the Bible, the truth. And that's where the Gideons trying to put Bibles. How many languages, brother, you say? 81? 81 languages. Praise God. That is like a dynamite in the hands of people. After you heard the word of truth, said these, and then they said the gospel of salvation, in whom also after you believe. You hear the word of truth, you believe. Now, there is no adverb after. Look at your Bible. You have an after, you heard, after you believe, but there is no after now. After you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Do you get the sequency, the literal sequency of the Bible? The Bible tells us that we heard the truth, whether we read it or somebody read it for us, or you find the Bible and you read it by yourself. And after you read the Bible, you come to the conclusion of God, and then you believe in God, and when you believe in God, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. There is no other sequency. You don't have a time sequency between believing and the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells you clearly you do that. Now, when God gives you the Holy Spirit, we are without excuse, we believers, in the way we behave. Because when God gave us the Holy Spirit, I tell you what he gave us. Let's turn our Bible to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5:22, page 687. Page 687 in our Bible. When God gave us the Holy Spirit, this is what the Bible says. By the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance, against such thing there is no law. Meek, what the Bible talks about today. Blessed are the meek. Meekness is a product, is produced by the Holy Spirit in you. So if you are a believer, you have no excuse. No excuse. You need to have selflessness in your life. So the value of a selfish life, the value of a selfless life is the entire Godhead is looking to us not to be giants and brilliant, but to be submissive to God with a selfless life. Now, if you do that, comes the next step, the victories of a selfless life. Contentment in our present life is one of the victories. And contentment in our future life. Contentment in our present life. Verse 5 said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Yes, sir? That's the contentment of God. And it's explained for us in Psalm 37 and verse 11. Psalm 37 and verse 11, page 354. The Bible says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of money. Peace. Peace. As you talk to people, that's what they lack. You know that? I talk to people. When I was in radio for 29 years, I had the joy to fly all over the United States. And there is one thing that people in the United States lack is peace. They were unsatisfied. They have a Mercedes, maybe they want a Lexus. They have a house three floors, they want a house one floor. They have a house one floor, they want three floors. Completely unsatisfied. And the Bible said here, the victories of a selfless life is contentment in the present life. You got peace. In other words, a man or woman who is truly meek is always satisfied and happy with his life here on earth. That's when Jesus said in verse 5, what he means, shall inherit the earth. You're in control. You don't need to have three jobs in order to pay all your wants. You're in control. You are happy. You are happy whatever you have. How do I know? Well, there is an example in the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, page 693. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. And the person who speaks is a PhD from Greece. It's Paul. And this PhD, look at what he says. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, he says. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Said the King James, to be satisfied could be a good translation. In whatever state. And you know Paul. He was in jail. He was out. He was in Macedonia, which loved him and cared for him, and he was in other places, and he was in Corinth, where they hate him, but he was content. He was satisfied. He never complained. My mother never complained. We were born in Argentina. We have very little. We don't know that we have very little. And we were happy. We go to Mexico. I went to Colombia, Honduras. 30 people living in one room because they had no other place. I never saw one crying or complaining or asking me for money for them. They were satisfied. Contentment. That's a victory of a self-life. Contentment. And contentment in our future life. And look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, page 713, the Apostle Peter said these, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. You don't need to go to court to get your inheritance in heaven. It's there for you. That's our future. There, I am going to enjoy life forever. There is our retirement. This is my retirement. People say, you're going to retire? Yes, God can call me anytime he wants to. And I retire with him. Don't worry about retirements. We grew up in a country, there was no retirement. Neither vacation. When we came to America, that was great. Amazing. I said, these people are more communist than the communist itself. They have social programs. See, social programs are wrong because, see, social programs take the place of God. Our church do have social programs with people. But I scrutinize them to the end. Give me social security number, give me this. And I call the police, I call every place, and I got the history of the person to see why that's have no job. Maybe don't need a job, maybe they need a training. And they're mine. I tell you. It is good to know that we can be content in this world, regardless of what you have, and of course we are content in the world to come. I thought to get the conclusion, usually I have a verse, but I have a bunch of verses today. And I have a man though, I have a man, I want you to look on it, and that is Moses. Perhaps the most somber example of what God means by being meek is exemplified by the life of this man, Moses. So I want to ask you to turn your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, chapter 12, page 96 in your Bible. The book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3. Look at what God says about this man, Moses. Now the man, Moses, was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now, if you want somebody who was selfless, here it is. Jesus, Moses. That's it. But you know, a breaking point came in Moses' life when he was leading God's people. You know, when you deal with people, you are subject sometimes to blow up. And he lost his temper and struck the rock instead of speaking. Move your Bible now to Numbers 20, and I start reading from verse 7. And, you know, we all have to guard ourselves. But when you work with people, you are subject to a kind of a drama. And those parents who have children, you know this very well. There is a kind of a drama. And in a moment, you are cool and you are doing everything. But when everything piles and piles and piles, there is a moment that you're going to blow up. That happened to Moses, not only to you. I read Numbers 20 and verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give for his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and the beast to drink. At this point, Israel was complaining. There was no contentment, they were complaining. Verse 9, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, look at the vocabulary, you tell it, it's coming. You know, children, when your parents talk to you, you know what is coming, all right? The way that your daddy talked to you. Like, here's what it is. He said, ye rebels to his own people. Imagine President Bush, when they get into, going to speak to the nation, and he said, ye rebels! You really feel he lost his mind. But Moses said, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank of their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. In other words, Moses took the place of God and he judged the congregation. Now there are many times I want to speak about something, about to you. And after I look on it, I said, no, this is not speaking, this is judging. Of course, I will not mention names, but when I see things around our church, I wish I can speak about that, but that's not my job. My job is to teach you and feed you and watch for God to respond to this. And Moses didn't. Heed no weight. He said, these people are rebels. These are terrible. I'm going to tell you, rather than saying, God is glorious. God is marvelous. And look at how great is our God. As I'm going to speak to this rock, then the rock will give us water. Rather than picturing God, he put himself on it. And each time we put ourselves, we get in trouble. Now, let's go a little farther. Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible, chapter 34, the next book. All right? Deuteronomy 34 and verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, him is Moses, this is the land, now they are in Monibo, very high, about 2,000 feet high, close to the Jordan, looking into the Holy Land. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Moses lost the pleasure of the present inheritance to be in the land of Cana by not controlling himself. You think you're going to be satisfied when you burst in anger, and you're not. Some people lose their homes for not controlling themselves. They gamble, they do kind of all kinds of things, and they lose their homes. Some people lose their life for not controlling themselves. They get in anger, and they go and shoot somebody, and they spend the rest of their life in jail. Some people lose their life in that way. But some people lose eternal life by not listening to God. They lose their real inheritance because they care less about the Bible. They care less about God. They don't want to hear about God. And more they get in anger, farther they get from God. Self-control equals selflessness, which is the key to a life of satisfaction. You know, in America today, if you listen to the television or watch the television, let's put it in this way, that's the reverse. The television is teaching you, you must have this. You deserve this. This is for you. And if you listen for a while, then you start believing that stuff. I wish you all can go across the border in Mexico or even in England, like I went. And don't go in the hotels. Just live with the people. And you're going to take a shower, and the guy said, you have 3 minutes. Chum, push the button. 3 minutes? Already passed, Gabriel. I said, why? Because they charge too much taxes if we use a heater like you fancy people in America. That's what the British told me. The fellow's coming here next month again. You know, and I have some plans for him. But I tell you, I want to put the thermostat in the shower that he cannot, you will see. But, we were shocked. We were at the gas station. Let's walk 3 miles. It's only 3 miles. 3 miles. I went to the hospital. 3 miles. They walk fast. Then I stopped in the service station. $8 a gallon. I said, you people stupid? Why you pay so much? I said, that's the price. And nobody complained. Nobody complained. We're in Spain. Stop at the gas station, give you $30, half tank and a Peugeot. And I said, what's the problem? He said, well, how much money do you give me? $30. Well, I said, it's half tank. But you people are crazy. He said, why? The gasoline is too expensive. He said, so what? Nobody complains about anything. When you complain, you make your life really miserable. Really miserable. Actually, we have rights to nothing. You know that? We have sinned before God. And if you do not read the Bible and you reject God, you are rejecting yourself because you are setting yourself up to live a life in hell. Satisfaction is the quality of a Christian who knows that he is nothing, he deserves nothing, and whatever we have, we thank God for. Praise God. Thank you, Father, that your word tells us from beginning to end that you are the beginning and you are the end. And we confess to you that we as Christians, sometimes we get caught with the move of the world, especially in America. And Father, help us to be simple Help us to be content. Help us to appreciate that we have Jesus Christ, that if it was not for you, we will never have him. Thank you, Lord. And help us to help others to see in us the beauty of Jesus and not ourselves. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are here today, receiving your word with gladness, looking upon our life in order to make corrections. We pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and that we may learn to control ourselves and to depend on you. Father, we confess to you that sometimes we look around and we look even into ourselves and then we are unhappy. Oh God, forgive us. Give it a spirit of contentment. Give a life of meekness. And we may show the world that this world is not our satisfaction. You are. In Jesus we pray. Amen.